Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo. We bring you hand-selected hosts, podcasts, and talk radio programming with listening options, 24/7 streaming, or listen on demand. We also feature one-on-one segments with important guests, people who have something to say that you need to hear. And if you have something to say and would like to be featured on the network, please visit speakuptalkradio.com for all of the details, or contact us at PR@speakuptalkradio.com. Well, I have another fascinating author. She's here to share important bits of wisdom. She is Patty Perrin. Patty, who writes under the pen name of PTL Perrin, grew up in Europe as a military brat with no television and a huge imagination. Books were her lifeline. She speaks several languages and enjoys the diversity of people and cultures. Her first book, Reflections of a Misfit, is just that, snippets of her life in light of some of the scriptures she reads daily. Her family is a rich source of entertainment and bits of wisdom. Anyone who sometimes feels like a misfit might relate and enjoy it. She wrote the Tetrasphere series as pure entertainment and as a way to answer some of the unanswerable questions about our amazing universe. What if there are inhabited planets interacting with Earth? What happened to Atlantis? Do dragons exist? What if the fate of our planet were in the hands of four teenagers, each with a special ability and each with his or her own struggles? Terra's Call, the first book of the Tetralogy, was a finalist in the Royal Palm Literary Awards. Patty and her tennis pro husband Bill are parents and grandparents of a fluid, constantly growing family. Happily married, they live in South Florida, where they exercise bragging rights in the winter and enjoy the long summers, and where Patty is writing books she would have enjoyed reading back when she didn't have a television. And I am thrilled to share her with you, so welcome to the network, Patty.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you here. So, wow, what was it like growing up without a television?
Well, I really had nothing to compare it to. We traveled a lot, and we visited a lot of really interesting places. In fact, we lived close to a couple of castles in Germany, and the castle grounds were our playgrounds. And so we played outside, we climbed trees, we did things that most kids do. But the kind of entertainment that television provides today, we got through books. And I learned to read at a very early age and read anything and everything that was in print, anything I could get my hands on, which included a lot of adult books at early ages, you know, when I was pretty young. So not that I understood them all, but I did understand the words, and I enjoyed reading and still do.
What a rich childhood to be able to play in castle land, right?
Oh, yeah.
What a thing for your imagination. I get that. So your book, Reflections of a Misfit, that are snippets of your life, what made you think to put these in book form?
Well, I started it as a gratitude project, actually on Facebook, for Thanksgiving. It was a month-long project that just continued, and it went on for about a year. And my Facebook friends were encouraging me to put these little snippets into book form. And my husband encouraged me, and so I did. So that's how it became a book.
I love how books sometimes organically come just from life, or it's not something that you plan to do, but is an extension of who you are. So I think it's extremely important. It was probably cathartic for you to write that as well.
Absolutely, it was. And it was an exercise for me in faith. You know, I grew a lot that year. I grew in hope and faith and strength and character. And I just wanted to share that with people. And when they started to say that I should put it in a book, I gave it a lot of thought. And it was completely organic.
Some of the best outcomes are through an organic process. I firmly believe that. Well, maybe give us a sneak peek. Do you have a particular little snippet you'd like to share with us?
Yeah, I thought of this one because, you know, as a kid growing up in the military, maybe just as a kid, you have a tendency to have imaginary friends. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to share this little bit with you. It's called Friends for Life. I had imaginary friends when I was a kid. It was my all things Irish phase, and they were leprechauns. Then, like now, I had trouble remembering names, so I don't recall if any of them had one. They were real to me, though, and when I entered a room, I held the door open until all of them had gotten through safely. They followed me everywhere. For a long time, they were my only friends. I was very shy. I've always been an introvert. An introvert is someone who gets energy from solitude as opposed to an extrovert who is energized by being with other people. I was also lonely, with an inner voice that filled me with self-loathing and made me fear what other kids might think of me. The voice has changed over the years. I can let it continue to escalate in condemnation, or I can listen to what God says about me. Now, when I hold the door for a moment longer than necessary, it's to let goodness and mercy follow me in. God says so. It's in Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the New King James Version.
I love that. And if your whole book is filled with these types of little pearls of wisdom, wow, what a gift that you're giving to others.
I hope so. Mm-hmm. I hope so. I've had people read it and say they use it as a devotional,
yes.
And other people read it in one sitting because they just enjoy it. That makes me feel good. That's the purpose of publishing the book.
I agree. Oh, thank you for sharing that. You almost feel like you just get a little peek into who you are.
And my family is in there. I mean, there's all kinds of neat little things. Like the time my granddaughter was doing hula hoops and she turned to me and says, "Grandma, you're old." And I looked at her and I said, "Well, sweetie, from your perspective, I most certainly am."
That's true. And that's a good answer. It puts it back, you know, from your perspective, I am. I like that. You're a smart woman. Very smart. Well, now you went on then to write some additional books. You have a series called Tetrasphere. They're science fiction adventure with a situation or people who are in need of rescue. Why were you drawn to write these?
Well, I have to say it's because I am a curious person, and I believe that there are more mysteries in our planet than most people would be aware of. And there are a lot of things that are unanswerable that science has no answers for, and the answers are usually pretty trite and not as believable as some of the other theories that are propounded for those particular things. And so I just started doing some research. I found an article about a woman who has the ability to see more colors than most humans because of color cones in her eyes. She has four sets of color cones, or four types, and we have three normally. And so that got me to thinking, well, what if she had five? And what would she see if she could see even more than the millions of colors she already sees? And that gave me my first character. I started writing about this character, and it kind of just fell into this pattern that became a story. And as I wrote the story, I just kept getting excited about all of the different things I was researching and how they all seemed to fit. So when I say I answer a lot of unanswerable questions, it is cathartic for me to be able to do that, even though most of my answers come out of my imagination. There's still a lot of basis to those things because I do the research, and I know that there are a lot of questions and answers that are propounded for those particular things.
And research always begets research. Once you start researching something, then you learn something new, and then you've got to research that. You could just spend your entire life just trailing all of the what-ifs and the research and just going on and on. It's very fascinating.
It's true. It's true. Google is my best friend.
Well, you know what? It does answer a lot of those what-if questions, or like I say, maybe it creates more. I don't know.
Well, it leads you.
It does lead you. So now you've got four books in your Tetrasphere series. Maybe just give us a little synopsis of those four, the titles and the four, so we'll give a little tease to our listeners.
Sure. Terra's Call is the first series, and in there, an ancient Cherokee prophecy, escalating natural disasters and strange sounds warn of the approaching end of planet Terra, which is our Earth. And there are four four main characters who each have these special abilities, and they're teenagers who had no idea growing up that they were the answer to this prophecy, or that they were the ones prophesied to attempt to save the world. So Jewel Adams sees millions more colors than normal, and she sees human auras and life forces. She also sees through disguises. There are shapeshifters in my books, and she sees through those disguises. Tax Fletcher can smell pheromones and other scent molecules even better than hound dogs do, and his twin sister Skye is a strong empath whose complicated relationship with Storm Rider creates tension among the four. He has anger issues along with the most practical gift, which is telekinetic powers. So separately, their abilities aren't enough to change fate, but together they find that they have the answer to actually repairing what's broken in our planet, the thing that is going to cause it to blow itself apart if they don't fix it. But there's one thing that they need to fulfill their mission, and that's the courage. Are they willing to put their own lives on the line to guarantee a future for mankind? And are they willing to face an ancient enemy determined to cause their mission to fail? There are alien races in here that they meet and interact with. And will those races come to their aid, or are those races going to try to prevent them from saving the planet? So in Triton's Call, which is the sequel, the teens discover that things are not at all as they seem, and they begin to realize that there are more mysteries than any of them ever dreamed of. And they're discovering those mysteries, and they're also getting to know these alien races on a much deeper level. Abducted by reptilian aliens and taken to a place that most people don't believe exists. Her friends are frantic to find her. The ones they thought would help them are now refusing to help. So the kids have to save Jewel, not only because they love her, but they can't complete their mission without her. In the third book, The Voice of Viracocha, they go to South America, where they discover that Jewel's problems are worse than they thought. An evil enemy is zeroing in on her, putting her in danger of losing herself, everyone she loves, and the world. So how can they stop him? They discover strange allies who are willing to help, but will their combined efforts be enough to rescue her and consequently, you know, save the world? More prophecies are revealed, but without Jewel, all hope is lost. The final book, which is Terra's Anthem, ties all the loose threads together. And they find that Earth dwellers that have been mythological because science has refused to acknowledge them after a certain time are now real, that they are real, and that they have to work together with the aliens who have been inhabiting the Earth along with these kids to actually do the work to save Earth. And in saving Earth, they also save one of the alien planets. So it's very complex.
Wow, that must have been fun to write this.
Oh, more than you know it. Mm-hmm. It really was a lot of fun to write.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like your characters really were part of your life.
Well, I take some of the characters. I guess some of their characteristics are from my life or me, and some of them are people that I've just met along the way, people I've admired. Mm-hmm. And I really believe that kids have depths of character that most of us aren't really aware of. You know, that at a certain, as they develop, they can develop into characters with a whole lot of depth. Mm-hmm. And a lot of intelligence. And these kids are all pretty well-rounded.
So that is the final one of the that series, yes?
Yeah, that one is still in the process of editing before it's published. It hasn't been released yet, but the book itself has been written, and I'm very grateful for that.
Ready to go. So what's next?
Well, there are probably some spinoffs, because some of the characters, especially some that come in at the last minute in the last book, could really develop their own stories. And I did leave some unanswered questions, not relating to the plot of the book, but relating to possibilities for future books. And so I'm excited about that because, you know, my life is going. I'm constantly dreaming up new things, and I see the world as being as multi-layered and as complex as people are. And there are things that we have not discovered about the human race, and there's things we have not discovered about our planet. There are things that have been discovered, but are, you know, they're not considered real discoveries because science hasn't caught up yet.
So you never will be at a loss for something to write about.
No. That won't happen.
No, it won't. Do you write every day? What's your writing process look like? Is there a specific place, a time? Just share a little bit of that with us.
Well, I need to have some outside discipline sometimes. And so I've written all of those books, compiled the first one and wrote the other four during National Novel Writing Month, which is the time when you just decide you're going to do it and you do it. And I would write 50,000 words in a month and then fill in the rest of it within the next 3 months afterwards. But that's how I wrote my books. So yeah, I write every day, but it isn't always book related. Sometimes I write in my blog. Sometimes I just write little things on Facebook, but I'm constantly writing. In my head, I write while I sleep. I mean, I write all the time, but not always physically write.
I get that. It's always with you, though.
Yeah, I'm not very disciplined. I always advise people to write something every day. If you're writing a book, definitely write toward your book every day. But I know people who have a lot of different projects going on at the same time, and it's because, you know, sometimes they're motivated to write for one and sometimes they want to write for the other one. And that's up to the individual, how they want to do that. But writing every day is a good idea. It's not something that I can always do.
Well, it's almost like a muscle. You've got to exercise it every day.
That's true. I run in spurts.
You're the typical exerciser, right?
That's right. That's right.
Oh, I love that.
I'll do it for a month and then, you know, forget it.
So. I don't believe that. So your first book came from that with a NaNoWriMo, the month of November, the challenge you took?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, the first time I did it, I couldn't believe that I accomplished it, but I did. And that was the first book. Tara's Call came out of that one. And the next one was the following April. There's a Camp NaNoWriMo,
mm-hmm.
and it's the same concept. And so I did that again, and that was the second book, Triton's Call. And then the same thing happened with Voice of Viracocha, Terra's Anthem. They were all NaNoWriMo starts. Mm-hmm. They started in those months. You know, it took me a couple of months to then finish it,
sure.
but that was a good start.
Oh, absolutely. That's a brilliant idea, really. It gets a lot of people to say, okay, and I'm going to take this challenge. And what it also does is it puts family on notice to say, I'm taking this challenge. Here's a real thing that I'm doing. You know, everyone needs to mm-hmm. just know that I'm not going to be available for that month.
That is a key for me
mm-hmm.
because I have a big family. We have 8 kids. We have 22 grandkids.
Oh, my.
And so there's always something going on somewhere. And I need to have that time where I can go into my cave and just run.
No, I get that. That's the beauty of that challenge. It also puts the people around you on notice as well. Now, I found this very interesting. When authors choose the option 3 or 4 of our interview selection, they have the opportunity to answer 21 questions, which we then add to their page on our website. And I'm interested to get your thoughts on the final question we asked, and that is, what is the one question you wished I would have asked you? And you answered what you wanted us to ask you was, what's so important about reading and learning to write? And I thought that was an interesting question. So what do you think, or why do you think it is important to read and learn how to write?
Kids today tend to be involved a lot more in their electronics than they are in reading. And not all kids, but there are some kids who are avid readers, and I think it's really admirable that they are. But, you know, when some of our grandkids, for example, when I talk to them and I see what they're doing, I mention to them, you know, that game you're playing, somebody had to write that. Somebody wrote that world into being. Somebody had to write and then put in all of the different variables so that you could play that game. And if you ever want to design games like that, you're going to have to learn to write. And that's for those who are avid gamers, and I have a couple of those. But for most kids, I think to become a well-rounded person, to become a person who is curious, who's fully alive in the moment all the time, you really need to be a reader. I heard a quote once that said, the man who reads lives a million lives, and the one who doesn't lives only one. And I can totally relate to that, because reading takes you to places that you would never normally go. You know, I'm not going to Mars. I'll never go to Mars. But when I read The Martian, I was there. Mm-hmm. And so I think reading is absolutely key. Literacy is absolutely key for a person to become a well-rounded, intelligent thinking person. And learning to write doesn't necessarily follow being a good reader, but being a good writer does. If you're going to be a good writer, you have to be a good reader. You have to get that feel for what a good book is. You know, what does your favorite authors, you know, what is it about their writing that you really love? And then when you begin to write, you find that you tend to write in ways that are similar to the ones that you truly like. So if you're going to write a book, write one that you would want to read, but you wouldn't even know what that is unless you are a reader. So one thing kind of flows with the other. It's the infinity symbol. Reading and writing go together, you know, in a way that is totally organic.
Wow, just the answer to this question is huge, and I'm glad I thought to ask you that, because there's just so many implications to what you're saying. The times that we're living in, just the use of technology takes children away, takes people away in general, of reading, of being mindful, of paying attention to anything else except their technological devices. So, yeah, I think what you're saying is huge. And, you know, as a grandmother to all of your grandchildren, you are going to be quite a role model.
I hope so. The ones who are reading my books are totally enjoying them and can't wait for this last one to be released so they can get the whole series. So that speaks to my heart. That is the reason that I wrote the books. I wanted to write a book that I would have enjoyed reading, and consequently my grandkids would enjoy reading. So that makes me very happy that that's happening. And I have one in particular who is constantly telling me how much she admires me, and of course, that does my heart good as her grandmother. Yeah. And she is brilliant herself, and so I admire her just as much. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's a mutual admiration society with my grandkids.
Well, it's a beautiful thing. You are going to give them the gift of understanding the importance of reading and writing, and to say, hey, look what my grandmother's done. She's an author. I mean, that's big. It's huge. They'll take that with them. Mm-hmm.
And their grandmother has bright blue hair, which also helps.
You know what? I was going to ask you about that. I love it. You were just so bold to do that. So why do you have bright blue hair, Grandma?
Blue and purple and aqua all mixed in together. And someone pointed it out to her daughter at the store one day and said, oh, look, there's a mermaid. Oh, okay. I'll take that. I just enjoy it. I've learned to live in the moment. I've learned to not worry about what other people think. I'm not doing anything to hurt anybody. I would never do that. But just to be myself and to enjoy life to the fullest. You know, I intend to do that until the day I go home. Why not?
You're no misfit, are you?
No, not at all.
Oh, what a pleasure to have this conversation with you. Thank you. You're very exciting to talk with. Oh, my gosh. Well, we've talked about your books and reading and writing and blue hair. Is there anything we missed that you wanted to talk about today?
You know, I think you've done such a wonderful job of just leading the conversation. I don't really know that there is anything.
All right. Well, we're good to go then. So where can folks go then to learn more about you, and where can they purchase your books?
It's www.ptlperrin.org.
All right. So the website is ptlperrin.org. You also have a blog, ptlperrinwrites.com, yes?
Yes, I do. Right. I do. And you can also find my books at my publishers, which is foundationbooks.net.
Okay, foundationbooks.net.
Yeah.
Well, Patty, you really gave us a treat today, talking about your books and then giving us that important advice about reading and writing. Thank you so much. Do you have any final words before we depart?
I just hope that everyone who's listening in today learns that life is to be lived in the moment and just enjoy, enjoy, enjoy.
Ah, you are amazing. PTLParent.org. Thank you so much, Patty, for joining us today. We'll have to do this again sometime.
Oh, it would be fun. Thank you so much, Pat, for having me on your program.